Magneto. I don't really care if haters really don't agree though. Killers in the streets and they weapon this police, claiming they ain't got no beef or steady, only eating keto. But we about to change that today. Your clans with guns and badges, they won't be safe. Your pipes that poison lands, no, they won't be safe. It's time to fight with us or get back the way. Because revolution steady right on the itinerary. I'm sick of seeing all my people in obituaries. Stay mad, Karen, we don't give an F-bomb. Blow it up by any means necessary. Captain said that I could be a revolutionary. I believe it, I can feel it in my capillaries. We out here and we showing no fear. Revolution's coming near, you don't want us as an adversary.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
Sound. And you know we say fight the power,
fight the power.
Views from the ground,
views from the ground,
views on the ground.
Views on the ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the ground.
And that's on that, on that, on that.
On that.
This is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ. I use they, them pronouns. And we are here on another week. We are going to get straight into it. So I want to welcome KJ with the Players of Comedy.
Is this on?
Yes, it is.
Oh, y'all, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Can you turn mine up? Can you turn me up?
Yep.
All right, all right. Hey, yeah, Players of Comedy. I have a good friend of mine who's a Twin City comedian. He's been in the game for how long now? About 10, 12 years?
Yeah, it's
now?
10 now.
10 years now. So, yeah, he's been in the game about 10 years. He came through for me. I had another comedian we scheduled to have, Boyman Freeman, but he had a, daddy issues come first. You know, got to take care of that baby first. So I told him, no problem. We reschedule. But I got a good friend of mine here, Randall Reed, who's a phenomenal comedian. He's been out throughout the Twin Cities doing his thing. He recently was in a festival. It was the Loons of the Lake.
Loons of the Lake, yeah.
And a finalist.
Yep.
Right.
One of six.
One, so, Randall, can you tell the audience briefly about that experience and what your preparation went into that?
It was my second year doing the actual festival. The first year I did some hosting duties, and they slid me into the competition like last minute, so I didn't really get an opportunity to think about what I was gonna like really put in the time and effort that's needed to prepare yourself for a competition. But year two, I just, I thought about it. I wrote down what I thought would be my best material, and then you just come in and do your best, and that's all that you can do, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was really crazy because four of the six finalists were from Minneapolis.
Right. They really wanted a Minnesota comedian to win.
Well, one of us did. Unfortunately, I wasn't the one who won.
No, but that's got to be a great feeling. I mean, just to finish in the, top five, top four? Top six.
Like, I think he broke it down and he said, 5,000 comedians applied to be...
5,000 comedians?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they made a lot of money.
Yeah, they did.
I'm just saying. I didn't mean to mention money, but...
No.
I didn't say price, but they made some...
Yeah, they did okay.
They could afford to give out 10 Gs.
Yeah.
Easy.
And so it was... Yeah, I think the really cool thing was the comedians that from Minneapolis that were up there were comedians that I had featured for during the time of me coming up. And it was really crazy to just be up there with three comedians that had previously beaten me in other competitions.
Wow. Talk about that experience growing up and how you got into comedy.
I started performing when I was six.
Six?
Yeah.
Were you doing theater?
Theater, performing at church. I was in the choir.
Oh, wow.
We went to a predominantly black church here in Minneapolis, Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church.
I remember that. My grandmother used to go to that
My
church.
Mom is a deacon there. I'm actually...
You still go there now?
I don't appear as much as my mom
And your mom still do work.
And the old heads would like me to. I get a couple text messages here and there, but it's still in my heart. So now that I've publicly said I haven't been as much as I probably should, I should probably make an appearance. But just my cousin was in theater, came out from Kentucky and lived with us for a little bit. He was in theater, and I looked up to him, so I just kind of followed that path. And then comedy was just, I don't know, he used to wake me up when he got home from work, and we'd watch Def Comedy Jam together.
Okay.
For like a good year or so. So that's probably where the idea was planted, and then just started going to open mics, and then from there it just kind of took over.
Okay. Who would you say influenced you through the Def Comedy Jam experience or Comedy Central experience, or there's a few other? I think I was talking about this to Laxim and how today's comedians no longer have those platforms to showcase on. We don't have the Def Comedy Jam, Comic View, Comedy Central. What is that? Byron Allen used to have where you come sit to the couch. And back in the day, late night TV was really influential, where when I was watching comedy, if you went on, he was from Nebraska.
Carson?
Yeah, Carson. Okay. Yeah, if you went on Carson and he brung you over to the couch and made your career. And nowadays, there's no hardly Jay Leno shows where they would have comics. What's his name? He's retired. I can't, the tall guy.
Letterman?
Letterman's retired. Yeah. Now all you have is Jimmy Fallon and
Seth Meyers.
I'm saying the late night shows today, as a comedian, in order to be a guest on them, you have to already have huge numbers.
Yeah.
You can't just go and showcase your talent anymore. Like, I mean, you know, but.
I think the comics that influenced me, I think I remember Bernie Mac's appearance on Def Comedy Jam yesterday.
Oh, who don't?
Like, that was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Adele Givens, I remember, like, her sets were always crazy. Some more, I always loved watching her. Roy Woods Jr. is one of my favorite comedians.
I know Roy. Roy's good people. I know Roy.
And it's trying to figure out like where your voice falls within that, because I don't particularly see myself like completely in the vein of like a Def Jam comedian or sometimes what people will say quote unquote black comedian. But I think that if you like finding the sincerity in your voice is really what makes a comedian. And I think, you know, you've seen me perform. I think I pretty much stick to things that are
absolutely. Yeah.
Are, you know, things that are believable about me and think and my ideas. So, I mean, you know, I love Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's a tactician, and I love the details of what he does. So I think that it's an art, and you need to take from everybody.
Right.
It's not just here or there. It's understanding the techniques of what everybody does. So.
Right. It sounds like you're a student of the craft.
Well, a wise comedian said that you have to become a student of the craft.
I wonder who that is. He listens.
And find mentors. Like, you're interviewing me and I appreciate it and everything that you've done, but like you're one of my, like anytime I have an issue or I need wisdom, like I call you, I'll call Maggie, I'll call Wendy Mayberry. Mike Brody, you know, you have to find people who are doing what you want to do on a higher level, and then you want to try to get to their level. Like Adrian, I love calling Adrian. I love working with Adrian because every time I work with him.
You're talking about Adrian Washington.
Adrian Washington, my apologies. Yeah. But he is just one of those dudes where every time we work together, I think I'm going to come back and work with him, and he's going to be like, I'm going to be a little bit closer to him.
Right, right.
And then every time I work with him, I walk away and I'm like, I still got stuff to learn.
Right, right. And as a professional comedian myself, been in this game for a long time, the minute you stop learning is the minute you stop evolving in the craft. So you always want to be learning. and having mentors. My mentor is Tony Woods, who's been on Def Comedy Jam, Comic View, all that's a good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
We recently went to Aruba and hung out with our families and stuff. He's a good brother.
That was one of like the turning points when I did a guest set for him. I don't know if I told you that, but he did a podcast, Good Ones, which is an amazing podcast for comedians. If younger comedians need a podcast to just understand how to people who are making it break down jokes, you should listen to that one. But I listened to his interview, and it was the first time I had heard a voice so similar to mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And realizing, like, that's the dude, like, he created the style that I'm basically kind of doing in a way.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to understand, he mentored Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle has a lot of Tony in him. If you look at Dave, you know, and Tony, you know, he hate to hear that, but everybody knows it in the comedy community. Tony Woods took Dave up under him and influenced him in a big way. Matter of fact, the originator of tapping the mic, boom, that's Tony, man. That's Tony all day, every day, man. But I would say this, you know, comedy, like, I think that society has labeled comedy black and white or urban or different, put different labels on it. But if you can be funny universally, I remember George Wallace telling me at a comedy festival in Laughlin, and I was doing a showcase at Hurrah. He just inspired me. He said, "Man, I'll do comedy anywhere. I do it at a funeral, the church, school, kindergarten classroom. I do it anywhere. I do it on the street. If they listen to it, anywhere they want to hear comedy, I do comedy." And I took that and it inspired me with versatility. Like, man, you got to have a clean set. You got to have a corporate set. Mm. You can be lightly blue. You can be darkly blue. But, I mean, just sitting talking to that dude for 15 minutes, man, blew my mind, man. George Wallace is a beast, man. And he's way older than I am. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But also, tell us real quick about where you hope to go with your comedy career. Do you think Minnesota satisfy your career as a platform to explode from or jump off from?
I think that it can be a jump off point for sure. And I think that it's a great place to grow for younger comedians.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have to kind of plot out my trajectory a little bit different because I still have a young child that we're, you know, she's 9 now, so we have about, you know, 8-ish years before I can make a real serious move here and there, depending how things go. But, you know, I'm talking to people on the West Coast. I'm talking to people on the East Coast, trying to plot out how I can slide out of town here and there, just strategically do it, but grow it in a way that makes sense and, you know, doesn't put me in a bad situation from a family perspective.
Oh, no, you got to take care of family, man. Family's important.
Yeah.
Especially them little ones you got. How many kids you got?
I got 2. We got one in college right now in Milwaukee, and then I got my daughter.
You got one in Milwaukee?
Yeah, yeah.
What school? 3 minutes. Oh, yeah, what school?
The Milwaukee School of Engineering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My son's at the University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. My youngest is. Yep. So you got 2 kids, right?
Yep.
I don't know. I thought you had 4.
Six, eight, ten kids
or something.
Don't just do that. Duke, man. I don't need that at all. KJ, why would you do that?
I was just playing, man. I was just messing with you. You know us comics, man. We like
No, I know. Stuff. That's a lot of kids. Like, you could have stopped it.
Yeah.
3.
I didn't know if your pull-out game was good.
It's amazing. If we have to bring it up.
Oh, I'm just teasing you, man. Tell the audience, too, your social media, your upcoming shows. Talk about what you got coming up.
You can find me on the Instagram, Randall Reed Comedy. I have the next 5 shows posted. I'm going to be at the Monday Night Comedy Show at Spring Street on Monday. I'm going to be opening the Laugh Camp on November 8th and 9th. 2 shows on the 9th, 1 show on the 8th. And then I will be headlining a showcase in Stillwater at the VFW on the 14th. Dean Bundy is hosting that show. So you can find that on the Instagram, on the Facebook. Randall Reed Comedy on Facebook as well.
Spell your last name out for me.
R-E-I-D.
First name.
Randall. R-A-N-D-A.
On IG.
Two L's.
Two L's on IG.
Yep,
so that's what you got coming up?
Yep.
I appreciate you coming in. Let's give it up for my man Randall Reed for coming in. I think we got to wrap this up. I've been your host, Players of Comedy, KJ the Comedian, also known as Khaleghi Javid. You can see me across the Twin Cities as I try to grow this program. But let's get up for KFAI and Donald DJ, used to be my former student.
Yes, that and is true.
I'm telling all your business at Dunwoody High School.
All of his business.
I'm airing it out. No, but thank you for having us. We appreciate this show, and we'll bring you back again, Randall. We'll do this again, man.
Cool. Appreciate it, KJ, man. Yeah. Thanks, DJ.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, KJ.
And it's a wrap.
We really appreciate it. With that, we're just gonna take a quick break, real fast.
KFAI is proud to present Don Richard and Spencer Zahn at the Dakota on Tuesday, October 22nd. Don Richard and Spencer Zahn share a common collaborative ethos, a genuine sense of musical curiosity, and a cosmopolitan eagerness to escape genre conventions. This shared vision first united them on 2022's Pigments, Icy and Warm, Stripped Down, and Grand, Familiar, and Otherworldly. Now it brings them together again for 2024's Quiet in a World Full of Noise. Tickets for Don Richard and Spencer Zahn can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
We just wanted to send a big thank you out to everyone that donated during the fall member drive. And a quick reminder that you can still donate at kfai.org. Your donations help keep us doing what we do.
What exactly is that?
I'm not sure anyone really knows, but we do it better than anyone else.
Does anyone else do what we do?
Not even close.
Then we'll have to do better than everyone else. It's like telling your only brother that they're your favorite.
Hey, we're non-commercial, community-powered radio. We'll take all the wins we can get. KFAI, and thanks for donating.
The following is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with the federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions. KFAI serves the Hennepin, Anoka, and Ramsey County areas at 90.3 FM. This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.
All right, welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Yes, we are here with Kajana, and we are interviewing you, a local artist, right? Go ahead and tell us about yourself and your career.
I can't hear myself, but that's cool. I don't know if you can. You hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. That's fine. So, yep, my name is Cool. There we go. So, yep, my name is Kajana Gant, local singer-songwriter, musician from, I've been in Minnesota since 98, originally from Gary, Indiana, but moved here in 98.
Yeah, so tell us, what, really inspired you to get into music?
Music, my inspiration started in sixth grade. Junior high band teacher, Mr. Carter, I was active boy. So mom put me in marching band to burn some energy off as well as other sports. But then Mr. Carter, band, you know, boys want to play saxophone because it's sexy. But he told me no. He told me no. He said my ear was good for music, so I had to play the tuba, which crushed my soul. But that's okay. I ended up playing the tuba all the way through high school and actually got a scholarship for music on the tuba. which was, taught myself how to play all the other brass instruments also. So trumpet, trombone, flugelhorn, and tuba. Yeah.
And so from there, you go into college and you're making music.
Going to college, making music, start singing just out of for fun of it, just the fun of singing, just singing in choirs. And we were at Great America, Six Flags. A friend of mine was playing with the band. One of the concerts, Hawkins family, it was a gospel concert at the amusement park. And a friend of his came up and said, "Hey, I'm starting a choir. I need some singers." And me and my buddies were there. We were like, "Well, yeah, we sing." So we joined that choir, and that began my singing career at like 17. Started traveling and singing there around 17, 18 years old. Yep.
And what was the name of that group?
Name of that group was, choir was called Elite Voices for Christ. And then the male music group was called Fully Persuaded. Fully Persuaded. So, yeah, we were fully persuaded to sing. I guess that was the concept of it.
Yep. And how was it traveling as a young man? And
traveling as a young man was wild. It was fun because it was like my brothers. So, you know, we were 18, 19 year old knuckleheads traveling in vans and buses or whatever else. Just, you know, it was cool. We would argue and fight all the time as boys do. But then when the music time to make the music, we made music. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was fun. It was never a dull moment with us. So always something interesting happened. So.
Yeah, and then eventually you had to take a break from the band.
Had to take a break from again. I got married young. Got married at 20, first marriage. Had a son. He's born with a heart condition. So I had to come off from singing and get a real job with some medical insurance to take care of him. That stopped my traveling and singing with those guys. And then that marriage didn't work out. We were young and stupid. But I still had to take care of him. And my job at the time transferred me to Minnesota. I never heard of Minnesota. Well, I heard of Minnesota, but never thought of moving here. But job transferred me to Minnesota. His doctors told me about the Mayo Clinic. And then I moved to Minnesota in 98.
In 98?
1998, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're taking care of your kids. And you're also making music on the side.
Making music on the side. I always love music. So making music on the side, singing, dating myself. So writing radio jingles and singing like for folks. Just doing church stuff to keep my voice active. My best friend, when he still does music with big art gospel artists, Kirk Franklin's, Fred Hammond. So still stayed in touch with him. Doing music and just writing and just singing whenever I could get a chance to. And the goal was when I remarried and had more children. So the goal was that when my baby girl got in school full-time, first grade, I can go back and pursue music a little more serious. So that's what I started doing in like 2006, 2007. Yeah.
Yes. So you go back and you start pursuing more music. And so tell us about some of the albums you started releasing, because you have such a diverse discography.
Yeah, I'm super diverse. I just love music. I love all music. My thing is no such thing as bad music. It's got to be good music, no matter what the genre is. Like obviously, I started off in gospel, but growing up, it was R&B. So when I write music, I always think of the impact that it's going to make. Who is it for? What's the message I want to bring? So first project was, it's called The Kajana Experience, which was hilarious because it was just something that was just experience. I wanted to put my thoughts on paper. And it was really to inspire children and then just anybody going through something. So that was that. And the next project, I wanted to do a Christmas project. My wife loves Christmas. So I said, well, you know, there's always, and now, you know, Hallmark movies about to start, Christmas Hallmark movies. So I was like, you know what? I need to do some type of Christmas project, as much stuff as we do for Christmas. So that was that. And then I did a children's nursery rhyme project, which was just kids, anything for children. What's so funny is that I wrote and did backgrounds for other folks that did, you know, country and Western or R&B or pop or gospel. But when I write, my goal is to leave an impact.
Yes. So with that being said, we're actually going to listen to one of your songs here.
All right.
You want to introduce it?
This is Experience. I'm sorry, Be Free?
Yep.
Yeah, Be Free. Be Free is about overcoming depression and just freeing yourself. Just taking life and even though bad things happen, free yourself.
Here we go with Be Free.
But you'd be too wise.
All right, we are back here at Views from the Ground. So, yes. Well, thank you for that wonderful song, Love the Message.
Yeah.
And I really feel like it really shows your, like, versatility as an artist, because hearing the song, because, like, when I met you at Snapped on Thursday, you were singing The Spinners.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Yes. And all of this old school funk music, and, you know, you have so much different, so much talent and experience. So,
yeah.
And I really just appreciate you and how long your career's been and how you keep, reinventing yourself and, keeping up with different genres and letting yourself explore as an artist. Like, it's really...
Yeah. Well, so I always say this, is that artists really has a season. You know, really most... Was it LMFAO? Are they relevant anymore? You know, remember that,
Shuffle. Yeah.
Right,
every
so
a lot of shuffle.
Right, so some stuff is like... So you really want to do stuff that's not one hit. I always think of Stevie Wonder's albums are timeless. Some of Dolly Parton stuff is timeless because the message was really good. So when you write and stuff, I just want to write something just for be a gimmick. Anybody can come up with a quick, hook. But you want to write something that's actually going to last. So, yeah, and that's what I always think. You're not going to live forever, but your music can. So, and that's what I always think of, what kind of impact am I leaving.
Yeah. So, well, we really appreciate having you here on the show.
Man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. Yeah. Snapped is, I'll see you at Snapped next week, I think.
Okay. Next week. Yeah.
So, appreciate y'all, man.
And what about your upcoming?
Yeah. So, the best way to find me is KJGant.com. KJGant.com. I post all of my shows on there, my calendar. I do a lot of private shows. I'm with a bunch of corporate bands and just a lot of private events. But I do have a live stream concert coming up next Tuesday. You can find that on KJGant.com. It's going to be streamed on Facebook Live and TikTok Live. Me and Taylor Hamilton.
Yes.
A fan is doing it. She's going to the hospital. So we're doing a live show from her living room. Yeah, so it's going to be, so please tune in. Please tune in. It's going to be fun. 90 minutes from 7 p.m. to 8:30. PM, KJGant.com. You can find me. All my socials are on there too. Follow me, subscribe.
All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks so much.
And we'll definitely have to have you back if you release anything in the future or have any more.
I'm working
concert.
On some stuff as always. So yeah, I'll be. All right.
Sounds cool, good. Man. With that, we are going to turn over to the Nerdy Spotlight. We're going to turn over to the Nerdy Spotlight. So go ahead and take it away, Nerdy.
Hello, 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 all of my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's your boy Nerdy back again with another thrilling installment of the Artist Spotlight. If you don't know, it's time for me to let you know, because every week we are here rocking with some of the best music in our community, and tonight is no different, because the entire month of October we have been rocking with the one, the only, Ro from right here in the Twin Cities. Now, we know that musicianship takes many different forms, and in this show, in this little segment, we like to really explore all the different ways our artists create and show their creativity. So when we ask Ro to send us a few songs for the program, one of the songs that she sent us is actually a score for a show. That's right, she is a producer. She makes music for other things, not just herself. So this is actually an entire score for a new show that Ro is going to be on. Now, the name of the title of the score is The Sidekick Overture. So this is The Sidekick Overture by Ro. Let's check it out.
All right. Welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the ground.
Yes. Just wanted to thank Nerd D. So now, with that being said, we have some in a community event coming up. So how about you go ahead and tell us about the community event?
What's up? My name is Vontae, and we have a chess club, and we have our first session that's coming up on the 23rd. Next Wednesday.
Yep, next Wednesday. At what time is it going to be happening and where?
It's going to be happening from 6 to 8, downtown St. Paul. And I'm really happy to announce this, but it's going to be at Jaime's Haberdashery.
Oh, yeah, that's super cool.
Have you been in that place before?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Are you familiar with what a haberdashery is?
Mm-mm.
All right, so, like, in a haberdashery, you can... It's essentially a place where you can, like, go get a suit. You can get your hair cut. You can get your suit tailored. And it's like a very... it's like a very like sexist kind of institution, but it's like a gentleman's kind of like,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like you get your shoes shined, you get trimmed up, you get a nice suit.
Like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, very like European kind of concept.
Gotcha.
But there's one downtown St. Paul and it's a very like magical space. And I'm really, they've done like burlesque shows there in the past.
Yeah.
It's a very how do I say, like an antique kind of vintage, dapper type of vibe, you know?
What got you to the point where you want to organize this chess event?
That's a good question. I kind of had, so I was just telling you, but I spent a lot of time in New York, and that was kind of like the point where I was like, all right, I have to do this. But before that, I kind of just got a calling from the universe, honestly. Like, I'm not a very good chess player, but I do like bringing people together to party. Like, I DJ. So, like, I've DJed some parties, and I've gotten kind of tired of just, like, the typical, like, you know, you pay a cover, you buy some drinks, you listen to the same rap songs or the same, you know, like, house songs. And I just wanted to have, like, a separate type of get-together that's not, like, party focused, and I just thought like playing board games would be the way to do that. And when I was younger, my dad encouraged me and my brother to play chess together, and for a long time he and my brother were the only two people that I ever played chess with. And he eventually took us to like a tournament, and that was a cool opportunity to see other people play chess. But for the most part, it's just been something that I just did with me, my brother, and my dad. And then when I got to college, I played with some friends. And yeah, I was just like, it just seems like a fun way to hang out and just chat with people without necessarily like forcing yourself to dance to music on a dance floor. You know, so that's kind of the impetus for it.
Yeah, well, as someone who loves music and also loves chess, this sounds like a great opportunity, and mm-hmm. it's just real fun because I always get self-conscious whenever I'm like listening to local music or at a concert, because I like my natural instinct is I want to play chess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because usually when I'm at home listening to music, I'm playing chess while listening to it. But then I get self-conscious because I'm like, oh, well, then everyone's going to be like, you're disrespecting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, no, this is how I enjoy, you know, the music. So
yeah, it's like sometimes I just want to sit down. I don't want to force myself to be on the dance floor. I get like, what's the word? Disassociative. You know what I mean? Like out of nowhere, I'll just be like, actually, I don't really feel like forcing myself to have small talk with you guys, but I would in a chess context, you know, so like this way we get kind of a best of both worlds, but I don't even want to really compare it to like a party. Like we might have DJs, but the music will be turned very, 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 very low. You know what I mean? Like there might be a live band, but it's probably going to be jazz. And we're talking about sessions that are like way far in the future. Like for now, we're just playing chess and hanging out. So the music is kind of like an afterthought.
Yes. So, well, really appreciate it. So this is going to be an event coming up next Wednesday on the 23rd.
Yep. And then we have another one scheduled at Public Functionary, which is an art gallery over Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool venue. I've always been a fan of theirs. And, they were happy to host us as well. And so we're going to have one in November. Then I have one at a friend's house that's going to be like a 420 friendly chess club. So we have one in St. Paul, one in Minneapolis, and then we have a 420 friendly one. And the plan is to do 3 sessions a month, 1 at each venue. But we'll get there.
Yeah, sounds good. And you just let us know, and we'll have you back on about those other ones.
Cool.
So, once again, it's next Wednesday, the 23rd, from
6 to 8 p.m. at Jaime's Haberdashery.
Yes. So, and do you know what the address is?
Hold on, let me see. I pull that up really fast, actually.
But yeah. So we just really appreciate all the chess that's going on. Also, since we were talking about chess, I'll also plug my chess club, which is every Sunday, the Black Kings Chess Club from 2 to 4, over at the Northeast Coffee Shop. So. And, yeah, we've been doing that for 1.5 years, me and my co-founder, Gabe Spinks. So, shout out to Gabe. But with that being said, we are going to play some music today.
Right.
So,
okay, here's the address for Jaime's. 400 St. Peter Street, St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for coming on as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I think I should have some time this Sunday, too. I want to pull up to your chess club as well, because I'm kind of out of practice. I was just playing on my phone just now, but, like, I haven't opened this app in a while. So, yeah, I'm not, like, the best chess player. I just like to have fun.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. So I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see you on Sunday. With that, we are going... we're going to be listening to a set of music. Today, we are going to be listening to some black opera. Nice. So we're going to just kind of, throughout the years, we're going to start this off with LaTanya Price. So here we go. Coming up next, we are actually going to have one of what some may see as a shocker, it is going to be the queen of soul music. In 1998, Aretha Franklin was approached because Pavarotti was feeling sick at the Grammys hours, you know, a couple of minutes or hour before they were supposed to perform. So Aretha Franklin actually jumped in at the last minute and did Nessun Dorma, one of his big hits. So here we go with Aretha Franklin's soul version of Nessun Dorma.
Aretha Franklin.
That was Aretha Franklin doing Nessun Dorma, which she stepped in just a couple of minutes. She was like, yeah, I was doing that the other week. And people were like, you were doing Nessun Dorma. And she was like, yeah. So, and that just shows you that, like, when the music is good, it definitely just transcends music, right? You know? And Yeah, and that's what I just love about musicians. Like, we had KJ, the musician, on here earlier, and he just has so much diversity in his. And I just love that when the artist just like, yeah, I was listening to that country album, or yeah, I know a little bit about throat singing. It's like, yeah, okay, here we go. So we're going to end this off the set here with some hip-hop opera. And I know some of you are like, what is that? You're about to find out. Here we go.
The Recording Academy, it gives me great pleasure to present you with this year's Grammy.
Fanciulle,
con la parrucca,
presso la barba, tutti mi vogliono con la parrucca, presso la barba, presso il lieto. Ehi!
That was an experience. That's some hip hop opera. So, and I think we're gonna sneak one more song here. We're gonna sneak Babatunde one more of his songs. We're gonna hear Nessa Dorma again, but like you've never heard it before. All right. So we just got done listening to some of the hip-hop opera, which I love. And, yeah, we just really appreciate that. And so, yeah, there's black opera out there. It sounds great. It's amazing. And we just got done celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. So I also want to give a shout-out to that. And just want to say free Palestine because, yes, you know, Indigenous people, land back. Palestine, once they free the Congos, free Sudan. So want to throw all that out there. And then we're going to do our new outro song here with Brandon Lee Tulloch. We are out of here.
Here comes the politician. And he asking for your vote next fall. But that same politician will not answer phone when you call. And here comes the policeman. He say that he protect and serve. But that same policeman beat you down face to the curb. And here comes the educator. She teaches stories, but that same educator never cared to learn the real story. And here comes the entertainer. He claimed that he's a great prophet, but that same entertainer sell his soul just to make profit. No more smoking mirrors, no rabbit in that. We know all of your tricks. No more liars, no cheaters, no grifters, no frauds, and no more hypocrites. No, you cannot fool us anymore. No, you cannot fool us anymore. The president who won the Nobel Prize for Peace, say man who bombed the whole Middle East. The mayor say he gonna put the public first. Say mayor blow those tents with pigs in public works. You know some people that be working in nonprofit. Say people stealing money, put it in their pocket. The activists that say they trying to lead the way. Same activists who working for the city pay. So you can let them fools take their gold. But I never let the fool take my soul. So you can let them fools take their gold. But I never let the fool take my soul.